It's time for the Berkshire Edge on air. And from three different locations, from Sharon, Connecticut, we've checked in. From New York, Marcy, check in.
Good morning.
And from Great Barrington, David, check in.
I'm here, I think.
Well, we're melting.
That's good enough for us.
Good morning, David. Hello.
Good morning.
All right. Well, is it raining down there, Marcy? Because it's raining and dark up here.
Well, it actually did rain. It's not really raining anymore, but it's very misty and damp.
All right.
And
it's raining here, I'll tell you.
It's rainy and damp, not misty.
No, really.
Is it going north, the rain? I mean, has it finished with us and going north?
It's good. The back end of it's by Poughkeepsie, so we should be out of it within the next hour and a half, and Great Barrington within the next hour and a half, 2 hours.
Good.
All right, well, let's get to the lineup for the Berkshire Edge. Of course, the BerkshireEdge.com, but this is the Berkshire Edge on air. And first of all, Great Barrington's going to receive some state funding for Complete Streets Project. Now, hang on a second here. They're going to tear up all the roads in Great Barrington again?
Again?
No.
Thank God.
No. Yeah, I know.
It's just to support the use of the streets by pedestrians and bike riders, and rather than just cars. That's the point. So they're going to improve sidewalks. They're going to improve, while Main Street got rebuilt, many of the side streets did not. And so they're going to make the town a little bit more accessible to alternate ways of getting around. And healthier ways, I might add, of getting around.
So will they be adding bike lanes and special traffic lights for bikes and stuff like that?
Yep, and also you can already see it because all over town there are these those speed warning lights, you know.
Yep.
I tell you what your speed limit.
I mean, I just drove back from taking kids to school and I noticed three or four of them on the way back. So, and I'd never seen them before. So I think that this Complete Streets project is in place,
Now tell me.
I find these signs very discouraging because I don't want to know how fast I'm going.
I'm going to ask you both questions. What I found and what they found in towns that put these in when they first go up, people use those signs to actually test their speedometer to see. They say that's a big problem. That's a real big problem. They try to calibrate their speedometer to the signs.
Well, and at higher speeds too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But then,
well, I have to say that when you near one of these things and it tells you what your speed is and it's interesting to see just where the flashing will stop. You know, how slow do you have to be?
Well, some of those signs can also, and what they're talking about in Sharon and in Salisbury, some of those signs can be also equipped with a device that if you're speeding,
take a picture.
Yeah. We'll take your picture and
your license,
and you'll get a ticket.
You'll get a ticket.
Yeah,
makes it much easier. That ultimately becomes a deterrent because, as you know, in any traffic
stop, it certainly does. if you know that you're going to get a ticket,
in the mail,
definitely becomes a deterrent. Right.
So, right. I think Marshall asked, but just very briefly, are they tearing up the streets to do this?
No.
Not at all. Will tear up the sidewalks, right, David?
Yeah, they're going to rebuild some of the sidewalks are either in disrepair or non-existent. this is a good Railroad Street really basically needs some sidewalks so you can walk around the town a lot easier than it is now.
And
so,
they're trying to get this funding for five streets, right?
Yep. So. I think this is just making the town as other towns are also doing is to make them more habitable for people on foot and on bikes, which is healthier, you know.
Well, I know they did this in New York on major thoroughfares, and when they were doing it, putting in bike lanes and stuff like that. But I will say, It is much easier to transgress and to go across streets now in New York with the way they've set up the handicapped and the bike lanes and everything like that.
Yeah.
It is much better. And once it's done, it actually it does improve traffic flow for both pedestrians and bikers and automobiles.
Yep.
So.
And, I might say that it's a kind of au courant way of organizing and your urban areas, because young people really are abandoning cars and prefer bicycles and trains to get around, and so this is a good thing for the community, you know.
All right.
And also, I mean, it's not just Great Barrington. There are also proposals submitted from Lenox, Egremont, and Sandusfield. We have an interactive map on our site of the various towns across Massachusetts who have applied for money and, where they stand in the application process, too. So it's
Well, we've gone through something like that here. Lakeville was just the latest, but over the last 3 years, the traffic patterns and the roads in Lakeville and Salisbury have totally been redone with new sidewalks, bump outs to make it safer for pedestrians. Falls Village had a complete redo that included street lighting and everything like that. So those three towns in the northwest corner have done that in the past 4 years. And it really does. It makes a difference. I'm not going to say a lot for traffic. It slows traffic down. Everything they've done, which is what they wanted to do, and it does make it safer to walk for pedestrians. But they've added lights in and super crosswalks and stuff like that, and they've made it look nice. So so these improvements really are a benefit to the community.
Right. Yeah. And also, I should point out that the senior transportation planner for the Berkshire Regional Planning Commission has given us, or we have a link to a SurveyMonkey survey, which he is hoping residents of Berkshire County will participate in. So, we have that survey online, and the planner is asking county residents to fill it out that, we hope people will.
All right.
Because obviously they want to know how people are going to use this.
All right. Well, I'd go on to your next story, a collaboration story, North and South. Let the union begin.
This is complicated. what's complicated about it is the way the state calculates state aid to education. The Berkshire Hills Regional School District, which includes Great Barrington, Stockbridge, and West Stockbridge, has joined forces with Pittsfield, believe it or not, school district in challenging the state's formula for funding public schools, because they feel like it's penalizing them in ways that are unfair. So. This is an ongoing fight, it's really interesting that the two school districts, North and South, one urban and one rural, are now joining forces, and we'll see how this turns out. But it's interesting how the state seems to have made it more difficult for these two school districts. The formula for their reimbursement is not fair in the view of the school committees.
Well, it's interesting. Massachusetts and New York have a much more complex formation than in Connecticut, and I'm not saying Connecticut's better or worse. In Connecticut, of course, you pay car tax, you pay real estate tax if you own a house, you pay school tax if you own a house. If you rent, you just pay, of course, your car tax. You don't pay that. But it breaks down in each town, of course, the mill rate and everything. And New York is much more complicated for funding schools than that. And I think Massachusetts is much more complicated as well.
Yeah, this is an ongoing issue, school funding. And every town meeting, every year, I mean, it's, blood boils because Well, we've discussed this so many times before. I don't know how much detail to go into, but you know, Great Barrington shares a school district with two other towns, and since Great Barrington has more children, it is being charged more for schools, and you know, and Great Barrington is, you know, so Great Barrington is funding the schools, and you know, it's a point of contention every year.
All right.
Because the school budget goes up.
Yeah. Well, the budgets never go down.
They never go down.
That's one thing we've learned in life, that the only time a budget goes down is if you have a massive disruption in the financial markets, and not only in the United States but across the world, then budgets go down. But other than that, they just keep going up.
No. Right.
You've got another story about, and this once again applies to here because there's so many second homeowners in Northwest Connecticut. It is the same in South County, Massachusetts, and there's a rule that prevents those people from voting at town meetings, which they don't use here. You're allowed to vote at a town meeting here if you own property.
Oh, really?
That's not the case in Massachusetts, where they're what they're talking about is second home. There's a group of people in West Stockbridge and Stockbridge who have formed an association to try to change this so that they will be able to vote for candidates at town meeting. They can attend town meetings and they can speak, but they can't vote.
Well, you can't vote in any election here unless it's your primary residence here.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the issue. And you know, if you look at the percentage of second homeowners in these towns, Stockbridge, for example, has 54% of its property is owned by second homeowners, and in Otis, it's 63%. So it's, you know, this is significant, and they are complaining that, you know, it's taxation without representation, basically, because the town meeting is the form of government that determines, you know, what the expenditures and the tax rate is ultimately year after year.
Well, that's the difference, because here in Connecticut, on taxes and stuff like that, you can vote up here, but you just can't vote for any candidates for anything up here.
Candidates, right.
Yeah, that's where they draw the line. All
well,
right.
You know,
This goes to the heart of the fight over second home owners, you know, because there's a lot of feeling that they lift the real estate prices and make it more difficult for the people who live here, because the taxes go up on real estate because the values go up. And that is an ongoing sore spot in the community, you know.
It's a very complicated relationship because I started to say I have a cousin who has a house in Stockbridge, and he has been telling me for years that we ought to write an article about how the Stockbridge residents should thank the second homeowners, because the second homeowners are paying huge taxes on more expensive properties. They don't use the schools. They're not there that much. They don't contribute to road wear as much as a local. You know, there are all kinds of ways in which the second homeowners are supporting the community, and that and they don't even get to vote. We have not quite done such a partisan article. In fact, this is an extremely complete article. Our reporter, Terry Cowgill, has gone through, you know, he's cited examples from all over the state and around the country of different, how communities deal with this issue. So we're very proud of this article. It's a very complete look at what the situation is and ways in which other communities are dealing with it. So I really do recommend it for anybody who's interested in this issue.
All right. And then your next story, just the other day, as a matter of fact, my trainer is from, is actually lives up in Pittsfield, so we were talking about this, Andrea Harrington and the Democratic primary for district attorney.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? I mean, I'm quite surprised because I didn't realize that there was any way that any woman or anyone from South County would be able to unseat someone who was the at the heart of the Democratic machine in Pittsfield. But it happened that Andrea Harrington, surprise, surprise, won the Democratic primary, and she'll now be the candidate. In fact, she will be district attorney. I don't think that there's any Republican
opponent
who's going to be opposing her. So she is going to be our new district attorney. And it's quite surprising. It's quite a rebellion.
It's very surprising.
Against that Democratic machine.
But correct me if I'm wrong here, because what my trainer was basically saying is, A, she ran a great campaign there. There was no doubt of that. But B, there was some resentment about the district attorney. He was appointed right to the position.
Yeah. The longtime district attorney, whose name is Capeless, I forget his first name, David Capeless. He resigned about 6 or 8 months ago and got appointed his second in command to take over as district attorney so that the second in command, Cacciavelli, could be the incumbent when the election took place.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And then Andrea Harrington, then two women from South County joined the race. Andrea Harrington, who had run 2 years ago, to be state senator and lost to Adam Hines, joined the race. And Judy Knight, who is who has run before for district attorney and has a lot of prosecutorial experience, entered the race also. They entered about the same time. So everybody assumed, here are two progressive women. They'll obviously split the progressive vote, and Cacciavelli will be a shoo-in. But I must say that Andrea, although she had a lot of detractors because she's had very little legal experience, and she is a lawyer, but she's had much less legal experience than either of the other two candidates, she ran a very aggressive campaign. There were roads or lawn signs and emails and social. She used social media very effectively. She was all over the place.
Well, you know what it was. This is. I must say that this is the stealth power of a group of women in Pittsfield who got her elected. They did it before at the. And the mayor of Pittsfield, Linda Tyer, endorsed Andrea Harrington, and she's a Democrat. So it was a interesting. I've seen this happen before, where there's a group of women in Pittsfield who are very adept at organizing political campaigns, and about 10 years ago they did a campaign to get women onto the city council, and they were quite successful.
They got Linda Tyer elected out of the seven,
and Linda Tyer being one of them, that's how she started her career. So it was surprising, but in retrospect, I should have said, "Uh-oh, there's a group that's going to make this happen." So it's interesting to see it overturns a lot of the Democratic machinery in Pittsfield, which is a good thing, actually.
All right, we have about 3 minutes left. We'll get to once again, water everywhere.
Are we ever going to stop this?
The bottle bill.
The bottle bill. Well,
we've talked about this before, but what's interesting is that we did an article now about several merchants. You know, it was pretty well understood that the merchants were opposed to this ban on single-use water bottles, because, you know, it's lucrative for them to sell these water bottles. But now we have three merchants. We have the very popular Guido's store and the Berkshire Co-op, and also the Fuel coffee shop, who all are, you know, not waiting until next May to comply with the water bottle bill, but the water bottle ban, but are actually making water available. I mean, you know, come in and fill your own containers.
Reusable.
So they're doing this now.
Well, also
they're getting rid of plastic straws, which is another thing. So Guido's has a documentary running. I mean, they have a monitor at the store right as you walk in, and they have this documentary called Plastic Ocean, which is really frightening about the amount of plastic that is floating around in the ocean and endangering sea life. So they've got that running right at the entrance, and you know the owners of Guido's say, look, you know, we're going to lose about $25,000 every year through this bottle ban, but it's the right thing to do, and we are complying ahead of time. So, and the co-op and Fuel as well. So,
you give up something in the long run, in the short run. And you get something back much bigger in the long run. That's what people just have to say.
That's right.
You know,
and I think we've talked about this before, but, you know, I never had plastic bottles when I was growing up. I mean, you can live very well without them.
That's exactly right. Like I said, if you set up a stand to sell bottled water when we were growing up, there were buildings with bars that they put you in for that.
All right. Take jackets.
That's right. Well, that is going to wrap up this edition of the Berkshire Edge on Air. You can find them at berkshireedge.com, online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Bye.
Okay.
Take care.
Yeah.
That is the Berkshire Edge on Air here on Robinhood Radio. Once again, the berkshireedge.com.